This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Barack Obama wants an economic recovery plan that includes as much as $300 billion in tax cuts and aims to create 3 million jobs as well. The stimulus package could total $775 billion, and Democrats in Congress say they could send it to the new president's desk less than a month after he takes office. Most Americans agree the government should do something to keep the country out of a deep, long recession, but questions include how much and to what purpose. We'll ask two economists what they think, and we want to hear from you. What kinds of jobs? Doing what? How could the stimulus spending help you? 800-989-8255 is our phone number. The email address is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org, and click on Talk of the Nation. Later on the opinion page, an argument that Governor Blagojevich and Congressman Rush are playing to white guilt, and a counterargument that Governor Blagojevich was obeying the law. We'll talk about that on the opinion page. But first, the stimulus and you. Russell Roberts joins us here in Studio 3A. He's a professor of economics at George Mason University, a regular contributor to All Things Considered. Nice to have you on the program again.
Good to be here.
And former Obama advisor and former Secretary of Labor, Robert Reich, joins us from a studio at the University of California, Berkeley, where he's professor of public policy. Happy New Year. Nice to talk with you again.
Hello, Neil. Happy New Year to you.
And Robert Reich, as we look at this tax cut proposal, it looks a little bit like the stimulus package that President Bush passed.
Well, it may look like that at first blush, Neil, but it is different in the sense that the tax cuts that are being proposed are, for the most part, permanent tax cuts. Remember that tax cut that Bush had. If you're talking about the one most recently, the rebate was very temporary. If you're talking about the 2001-2003 tax cuts, well, those went mostly to the wealthy. These tax cuts that we find being proposed, and there's been no official proposal yet, these proposals this time around are going largely to the middle class and the poor.
Russ Roberts, as we look at these proposed tax cuts, this is, classic stimulus. Put some more money in people's pockets, hope they spend it wisely.
Well, you have to ask two questions. One is, where does the money come from? It's going to come from borrowing. So it's going to take money away from some folks who hold dollars, whether they're Americans or foreigners. So those folks are going to have less money to spend. And we're not going to cut spending while we do this. In fact, we're going to increase spending. So we're going to increase spending and cut taxes, swell the deficit. I call that a tax increase. That's an increase in the size of government that I'm going to have to, and you're going to have to, pay back tomorrow, or the next day, and the day after. So I think the stimulus effect is very small. I think it's not so much whether it's temporary or permanent, it's whether it changes incentives. This doesn't change incentives, and it doesn't change the confidence we have in the current economic situation.
And let's talk about the other $450 billion. Presumably that would be going to create these 3 million jobs. Obviously, unemployment's going up, people thrown out of work. The government is proposing, I guess, to become the employer of last resort, at least to some degree. Russ Roberts, do you agree with President-elect Obama that we need to do something bold and quickly?
Well, it'd be nice to do something bold and quickly if we had some confidence it would work. We don't have a lot of confidence that government spending, even on infrastructure, is going to stimulate the economy, maybe particularly on infrastructure. It takes a long while to get those projects started. They're not likely to stimulate the economy right now. And more importantly, they're going to stimulate particular sectors of the economy, and we don't have a lot of evidence that they'll stimulate the rest of the economy. So we're kind of in a quandary. There's a dramatic political demand to do something. I don't think the things that are being proposed are going to have the effects that are anticipated.
Well, quickly, what sectors of the economy do you think would be stimulated?
Oh, construction, if we're going to build bridges and roads and other things. The health sector, if we do the kind of broadband information stuff that has been discussed as a project for a large government activity. Of course, that presumes the money's spent well. I don't think it will be spent well. So I'm pessimistic about both of those. I would much rather see a real tax cut. I'd rather see government spend less, cut taxes in terms of tax rates, and encourage people to think that we're going to live within our means, which would be novel.
Robert Reich, let me ask you about that other $450 billion. How do you think it's going to be spent, and do you think that's wise? It's going to work?
Well, something has got to be done, Neil, to really fulfill not only the promise of the Obama administration, but also, more importantly, fill the gap in aggregate demand. That's what economists call it. Basically, consumers have stopped spending. Businesses are not going to spend on new equipment if consumers aren't there to buy the goods and services business produce. We can't rely on exports to fulfill the amount of demand that is needed because export markets are almost dead in the water. The dollar is still pretty high. So the government is the spender of last resort. We know this. This is classic Keynesian economics. The Fed has done just about everything it can do. The stimulus is going to have to be fairly large in order to fill the gap that is left by consumers who cannot and will not spend. I expect the first item to be to deal with the state and local shortfalls. State and local governments are down about anywhere from $100 to $250 billion. They are cutting jobs. Many of the jobs, firefighters and educators and sanitation workers, these are jobs that are very needed, family services. So restoring these jobs and even providing additional jobs to deal with many of the problems that Americans have right now, getting those state and local governments in better shape, that's fast money. Those are good, important jobs. They are, in many cases, the kind of jobs that people really need when they think about government.
We don't know what money would go exactly where yet, but what about those shovel-ready projects that the president-elect's been talking about?
Well, the challenge there, and here I agree with your other guests, the challenge there is to make sure that these are not pork barrel projects. There's got to be a lot of transparency. We've got to make sure that they are also done relatively quickly. And again, I agree with your other guest. It's hard for government to get the contracts that need to be undertaken, get all the processes done as quickly as possible. Now, we know that there is crumbling infrastructure. Deferred maintenance on our roads and bridges and ports and all kinds of other things is very well documented. The states do apparently have a quote-unquote shovel-ready projects out there to go. There's a lot we need to do with regard to energy and the environment, national energy grid, alternatives to carbon-based fuels. That will take a longer time. But look, this is all part of a big and important national agenda that has been deferred for too many years. We do have an opportunity now to kind of get on with it.
Russ Roberts, if the government's going to be spending this money, they presumably could do a lot worse than spending it on infrastructure. The creation of these highways and mass transit systems and other things will help down the road, no?
Well, infrastructure spending is actually up, and maybe it's not up enough over the last 10 years or so. Maybe there's still some projects left to be done. I'm sure there are. But I certainly agree that we ought to be striving for transparency and that there not be any pork barrel projects. Of course, that's like asking the government not to respond to the laws of gravity. For the government to spend $400 to $500 billion and not pay attention to the political implications would be an illusion, a fantasy, a set of romantic ideals that only people in Washington could continue to peddle. And we look at the last few days of news coverage, we see what's happened to Bill Richardson, to Hillary Clinton on the front page of the New York Times yesterday, people giving out favors to people who are politically connected to them. That is the way of the world. It is not avoidable. So that's another problem, I think, with this plan. It will not be transparent. We've seen a lot of non-transparency so far in the $700 billion bailout plan. It's been a despicable failure of democracy, that way that money has been spent essentially secretly with no accountability. It's been spent in ways that were not initially intended. I worry that that will happen again, all in the name of saving the world from a terrible apocalypse, which it may not be on the verge of, and it may make it worse.
Well, let's get some input from listeners. What do you think the money should be spent on? What would help you, your personal stimulus plan, as it were? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Kelly's with us. Kelly calling from Shingle Springs in California.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Kelly.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I've been a part-time worker and almost given up finding a full-time job, so I'm getting partial unemployment, but of course that can't continue forever, so I'm looking at going back to school and getting a certificate in a high-need field, but when I look at the student loan rates, it seems really high. You know, like the direct student loan would only cover part of the tuition and or part of the living expenses and tuition. And then I'm looking at, you know, repayments that'll be really high, and it seems to me that a lot of students must be suffering quite a bit because you're having to pay interest while you're still in school. If they could lower the rates, if they could raise the amount that they give to you that you don't have to make interest payments on while you're still in school, that would be really helpful, I think, for people retraining.
Robert Reich, would lower cost larger student loans, should that be part of a stimulus package?
Well, I think it should be, Neil. I think Kelly is absolutely right. This is a good time to get additional training. After all, there are not that many jobs out there. And if you're a newly graduating student and you're having trouble getting a job, or more importantly, if you're somebody who's lost a job and you're having trouble getting a new job, maybe some additional training right now is very appropriate. But Kelly is absolutely right. It's very costly. We had hoped, and I say we as a nation, we had hoped that the TARP program, the Treasury program that your other guest referred to, would get the money down from banks to Main Street, to students, and to small businesses, and to distressed mortgagees. But it didn't work, hasn't worked. So maybe that TARP program needs to be completely changed. And hopefully, Kelly, you can get a much lower interest loan and get on with your work and your life.
Briefly, Russ Roberts?
Well, asking two professors at universities whether we should subsidize education may not be the most credible group to ask. But education generally has a high rate of return, both for the individual and for the rest of us. It's good to live in an educated society. The TARP plan isn't working, the Treasury plan, mostly because banks are worried about the future. And when you're worried about the future, you don't like to take risk, whether you're a borrower or a lender. And I'm happy that Kelly is considering it. I think it's a great idea. It is a very good time when economic times are bad to tool up and invest in education. But I would remark that part of the reason, well, maybe the overwhelming reason we're in the mess we're in right now, is trying to give people loans that were cheaper than the marketplace would normally provide them. And I think that's a dangerous road. We want to be careful going down again.
Kelly, thanks for the call and good luck.
Thank you very much.
We're talking with Russ Roberts and Robert Reich about the President-elect's economic stimulus package. How could the plan help you? What do you think needs to be done? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. President-elect Barack Obama went to Capitol Hill today. He pressed Congress to move quickly on a huge stimulus package. The president-elect says the U.S. is facing extraordinary economic challenge, and he hopes to put together a package of tax cuts, breaks for businesses, new money for new jobs. Many of the details are still unclear. What kind of jobs? Doing what? How could the stimulus spending help you? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. Our guests are Russell Roberts, professor of economics at George Mason University, author most recently of The Price of Everything, A Parable of Possibility and Prosperity, and Robert Reich, who served as Secretary of Labor under President Bill Clinton. His most recent book is titled Super Capitalism. And let's get another caller on the line. And let's go to Eric. Eric's with us from St. Louis in Missouri.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would dearly love to see here on the near south side of St. Louis an extension of our light rail system. And all of the preliminary plans have been done. They've narrowed it down to one option, which happens to go two blocks from my house. But it's not just for selfish reasons. I'd love to see that. I think I haven't heard much talk from Obama about mass transit. Maybe there is some out there, but I heard more about highways. And I think mass transit light rail systems are much more in keeping with his green philosophy. I think they create many more jobs per mile than highways do in their construction. And they, in this particular case, it would really help stimulate a lot of rehabbing of old houses in South St. Louis, which desperately need it because it would be a huge jolt to the neighborhood and help rejuvenate a decaying inner city.
Russ Roberts, that sounds like a shovel-ready project if I ever heard one.
Well, it's a lot of shoveling, though. It'll take a long time. I actually used to live in St. Louis, and that light rail system wasn't very well traveled at the time. Maybe it's improved since I lived there. It goes a little farther. But that's always the problem. The problem is finding things to spend money on that are wisely spent and that will have a return for all of us in the way that they're used. If I wanted to revitalize the south side of St. Louis, though, I'd probably get rid of the income tax that the city of St. Louis has. If you want to have an income tax as a city, you have to have something special. Instead, all it does is discourage people and pushes them out into the suburbs. I think it's a nice example of the range of policy things we ought to be thinking about beyond just spending money. Spending money is dramatic. It looks good. People have an idea that it's going to help. I don't think it will, and I think a lot of it will be spent poorly.
Robert Reich, Eric's right. The president-elect has been talking a great deal about green projects, light rail, greener than highways or bridges.
I think that Eric is absolutely right. Public transportation is greatly needed. In fact, when we went through our recent crisis with regard to oil prices, we saw that people were leaving their cars, finally, and they were going into whatever public transportation was available, but the demand way exceeded the supply with regard to public transportation. So that's a good one in terms of job creation. It would be a good stimulus. It is obviously good for the environment. The big problem, and this is a trade-off that we're going to have to address as a nation, is that to do big public investment projects like public transportation, like light rail, which is one of the best forms of public transportation, does take time. And for everybody who out there is understandably impatient, let's get this economy back on track right now. The time is against us. I mean, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years from now, we might have a full public transportation or light rail system in many of our cities. But can we wait that long?
Eric, call us back if the project goes ahead and tell us how much you like the whack-a-whack-a-da machines 2 blocks from your house.
Okay.
All right, Eric. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's go instead now to Linda. Linda with us from Moscow, Idaho.
Hi, everybody. I have a shovel-ready project that is going to help the gender situation as well. One of the things that interests me about all of the transportation and highways and sewers and water projects is that most of those are heavy construction projects, and most of those are associated with overwhelmingly male jobs that will be out there. Well, I think that we need to look at the arts, we need to look at history, we need to look at recreation and parks and all of those areas. And the city of Moscow, Idaho, has a couple of those projects right on its platter right now that are ready to go. And in 60 days, we would have people whacking the old and bringing in the new. The two projects are, first of all, a completion of our Heart of the Arts Community Center, the 1912 Center. It's a beautiful old high school that we have halfway done for a community center with a heavy component for the arts.
Okay, we've got the selling point. The other one?
The other one is ball fields. I know that you'd love this because we need... we are so underserved for baseball and soccer and football fields for our kids in our town that it is just woeful. And our Palouse River Drive ball fields have languished for several years because we simply don't have the big bucks to go out and get these fields built. And if we could have a piece, a very small piece, $1 million, which I know it sounds big to me, but it's small in comparison to these other areas. All of these projects, the 1912...
Okay, let's see if we get a reaction to it, Linda. Robert Reich, she's right about the... and there's been criticism elsewhere that these proposals tend to be aimed more at male-type jobs than female-type jobs.
Well, certainly the big construction jobs have tended to be male jobs, Neil, and Linda is right. I think one thing we ought to do, and I did when I was Labor Secretary, was make sure that there are short-term training programs to get women into a lot of these jobs. We graduated hundreds of female pipe fitters, for example, non-traditional for females, but there's no reason women cannot be in construction. And the building trades need to make sure that they open their apprenticeship programs to women and also to minorities. We ought to have a Green Job Corps where a lot of people, a lot of women, a lot of young people can go around doing weatherization and modernization. Linda, your idea for a community arts center sounds good. Baseball fields sound good. But when I hear that kind of thing, I start worrying about, you know, the words pork barrel. And what sounds like good things to you and to your community might sound a little bit porkish relative to some higher social benefit projects like mass transit. We've got to be very careful that this money is spent well, and I don't doubt your sincerity, but maybe there are, even though the ballpark is very, very important, maybe there are more important things that need to happen in your community.
Well, who gets to decide?
Well, that's a good question. It's going to probably be state and local governments, but transparency is going to be critical here, because if there is an open public capital budget, so everybody can see it and everybody can comment on it and people can see, well, that looks too porky to me, or that really is a high priority, that will make a big difference.
Russ Robert, who should get to decide this?
Well, it's going to be a very quick process, unfortunately, I suspect. It's not going to have the transparency and care that we're describing in the best of all possible worlds. It's supposedly going to happen very quickly. I think people are going to be given – people, politicians are going to be given a great deal of latitude on how the money is spent. I think one of the dangers of the era that we are in right now is a presumption that we can control how many women pipe fitters there are or how many ball fields there should be, as if somehow experts in Washington or even Moscow, Idaho, can figure out what people want. Those experts don't exist. It can't be done. We're going to muddle through as best we can. And I think the key is to find a process that would allow those projects to be decided in a thoughtful way. That process doesn't exist, as far as I can tell, to do it quickly, which is another reason to be skeptical about this plan.
Well, Linda, we wish you the best of luck, particularly with those ball fields.
Yeah, I love those ball fields myself.
Okay, bye-bye.
How about that art center?
That's nice, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by all means, let's build art centers all over the place. I think that's a great idea.
Here's an email from Gary. Why is it the only tax cut the Republicans like is when it's for the rich, now that the little guy is finally getting a break, now the Republicans are worried about the deficit? I think, Russ Roberts, that's to you.
Well, I'm not a Republican, and I'm not particularly sympathetic to the Republicans' economic policies of the last 4 or 5 years at least. What I'd like to see, actually, is a reduction in the rate of the payroll tax. What is being proposed by Obama, at least he's talked about so far on the campaign trail, that he's talking about this tax cut of $310 million, is more of a rebate, a $500 flat per person. I'd like to see the payroll tax cut, or better yet, the income tax cut, and have less of this two-tiered system we have of a payroll tax and income tax, which leads to a lack of transparency and a great deal of confusion about who pays taxes in America. Yes, a lot of tax cuts go to the rich because the rich pay an enormous share of the taxes in the United States. The bottom 50% of tax returns account for about 3% of tax revenue. So the top half of tax returns are paying the overwhelming portion. So by definition, any cut in income tax rates has to go to the upper half. That's what we've done through decades of tax cutting. We've made it so that if you want to continue tax cutting, you have to cut income taxes for the wealthy. I think it's a mistake to only cut income taxes for the wealthy. I would love to see us cut payroll taxes, which are mostly paid by middle and lower income workers. But at the same time, it is imperative that we show some discipline and cut spending, because without that, we don't have a real tax cut.
Well, Russ, you gave me an invitation to give my two favorite nominees for tax cuts, and they have to do with the payroll tax and the sales tax. I would say, and this is, again, just my view, eliminate the first $15,000 of income from the payroll tax. And secondly, let's have, at least temporarily, a sales tax holiday. Just get rid of the sales tax. Can you imagine how much consumption you might stimulate that by that way?
All right. Let's go to another email. This is from Paul in San Francisco. It seems to me the money spent on infrastructure would not be nearly as effective as it was in the 30s and during the war years when government spending helped bring about some recovery. In those days, all the materials such as concrete, steel, aluminum, etc., and equipment were produced in this country. Today, much of that money and those types of jobs needed here in manufacturing would wind up overseas. If you're doing a lot of construction, Robert Reich, would you be importing a lot of this stuff from Japan and China?
Well, that might be the case ordinarily, although there is a provision in the federal laws called Buy America. And I would expect, although there will be a fight over this in Congress, I would hope and expect that those Buy American provisions win out. The federal government already is obliged to Buy America, although there are a lot of waivers. It seems to me that there is no reason why, if we're going to spend a lot of money, we shouldn't be creating jobs here in the United States.
Here's one, an email from Sarah. This one is a particular favorite of ours here in the news business. I work at the newspaper in Fresno, the Fresno Bee. Obama could help me by taking out lots of public service type ads in the newspaper. We want more of your suggestions about how the stimulus spending could help you. What do you think should be done? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Stay with us. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go to Paul. Paul with us from Toledo in Ohio. Paul, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, I had a question. This comes as a result of watching my father, my mother, and people their age, the baby boomer generation. Years ago, we kind of faced a looming crisis with the retirement of the baby boomers. We talked about opening borders, letting more immigrants come in to fill these jobs and this and that. Obviously, now that's not the case. It's pretty common to hear them say, hey, I was going to retire, but my 501k is trashed, my pension plan is gone, etc. Is it economically feasible or sensible to bail them out and to let them retire, move aside, and create more jobs? You know, let them live their dreams and let the younger generation, the people that are hurting for jobs, you know, come into these vacancies.
I think Robert Reich and Russ Roberts and I would all agree with this, but maybe I should get an opinion from the economist. Robert Reich, what do you think?
Well, I gather, Paul, you're suggesting something like an early buyout, Social Security made available to people earlier than they are now eligible for it. That sounds nice. It would be very, very expensive. I mean, on top of all of the borrowing we're going to have to do for this deficit package already, we're going to have to do a lot more borrowing for the baby boomers when they approach and actually draw on Social Security. So, not a bad idea, but once again, we've got to ask the fundamental question of when and how are we going to pay for it?
And that's going to be a fundamental question about a lot of this. Russ Roberts, you've raised these questions earlier.
Yeah, I think it's important to put a little bit of the situation in perspective. I'm very worried about the next 18 months, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. But it's important to remember that right now unemployment is 6.7%. Employment is down. We've lost some jobs. It's not a good time. But we have to keep it in perspective. We're not in a catastrophic situation as we were in the Great Depression. The worry is that we'll head in that direction. I want to make sure we don't head in that direction, that we don't do foolish public policy things that are unnecessarily expensive. It's important to remember it's easy to create jobs. Let's dig an enormous trench from Omaha, Nebraska to Duluth, Minnesota using spoons. It'll take thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Many of them will be women. So we'll have this gender equality that we're worried about. When we start worrying about these kind of things, the creation of jobs per se, we have costs that are often hidden and hard to notice. When you talk about digging a trench with spoons, it's obvious. As we talk about these other things, buying American, doing things in expensive ways, we're going to impoverish ourselves, not make ourselves better off.
Paul, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And here's an email from Kieran in Alameda, California. The real question isn't about what type of stimulus package. Why do we need to do it at all? A stimulus package is just more welfare, or rather government credit card swiping. It's time we got tough and thought of more ways that we could have realistic, sustainable budgets based on the real economy, not this credit-pushing fiasco we're currently suffering the consequences of, as was not emailed to us by Russ Roberts. But Robert Reich, it's sort of echoes.
Could have been.
Could have been. Some
Thank
echoes
you, Karen.
Why do we need to do anything? Is it just psychological?
And no, it's more than psychological. There is really a crisis on what I call the demand side of the economy. I mean, consumers, certainly after the housing bubble burst, could no longer get money out of their houses. They could no longer get refinancing or home loans. And that may be all to the good over the long term. Maybe we were consuming too much. But certainly in the short term, and by that I mean over the next couple of years, if consumers are not buying and if businesses are not investing because consumers are not buying, there's going to be massive unemployment. I disagree with your other guest on this point. I think we are in a real, real major predicament right now, and a lot of Americans are hurting. 2 million jobs, just about 2 million jobs have already been lost, taken out of circulation, in effect. We're aiming for, if we don't do much next year, my estimate is that another 3 million jobs will be lost in 2009, and unemployment will rise to about 10% of the workforce, and that's just the beginning. Nobody wants a what Japan faced for a decade, and that is a lost decade with a lot of people undertaking and under and experiencing a great deal of hardship.
Robert Reich, thanks very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
And Russell Roberts was here with us in Studio 3A. Thank you for your time as well.
My pleasure.
Coming up, Governor Blagojevich, Congressman Rush, and accusations of playing to white guilt. Stay with us. Talk of the Nation.